Evans.
Good evening, everyone. We're starting tonight's city council meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Ms. Francis Smith.
Present.
Ms. Quintec.
Present.
Ms. Slater. Ms. Leon. Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Blum.
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. You'll notice a few absences tonight. Mr. Callahan, as was stated at the last meeting, is attending a community organized function this evening. Ms. Leon is traveling, and we congratulate Councilwoman Laird as her and her husband invited twins since the last council meeting, so she will not be joining us this evening. We have a couple citations tonight for Mr. Warren Aki and Mr. Adam Orth. I don't see any of them in attendance tonight, so we'll see to it that they both get those citations from city council. Moving on to our public hearings. Prior to consideration of the regular agenda items, councils will conduct two public hearings. Public hearing number one will be related to the Department of Community and Economic Development's 2024 CDBG home funding recommendations. And then public hearing number two will be related to the Department of Community and Economic Development's proposed substantial amendment reallocating remaining prior year CDBG and home funds to new projects. These public hearings are for informational purposes only. There will be no votes taken during the public hearings. And then in connection with the first public hearing, there's one communication. Mr. Miller, please read that communication.
June 12, 2024 memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, submitting materials for review by City Council during this evening's public hearing for the 2024 Community Development Block Grant and Home Investment Partnerships Program allocations. For program year 2024, the city will receive $1,415,213 in CDBG funds and $391,294 in home money.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Public hearing number one is called to order. I'll recognize whomever from the administration would like to discuss the proposed 2024 CDBG home funding recommendations. Ready when you are, Mr. Verdun.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here tonight. My name is Robert Bedoni. I'm the Department of Community and Economic Development, Housing and Community Development Administrator. Thank you. We're here tonight. So this is the first of two public hearings. This first public hearing is to go over the administration's recommended 2024 CDBG activities. The second public hearing is going to be related to a proposed substantial amendment. So I guess we can get started. You each have a presentation. And you have the allocation spreadsheets. So I'm not going to dwell on technicalities, so I'm going to try to burn through the presentation pretty quickly. So Community Development Block Grant, that is the acronym CDBG. In 2024, our allocation for CDBG is $1,415,213. And our allocation for home funding is a type of affordable housing funding. That allocation was $391,294. So just basically to go through here, so CDBG was enacted in 1974. It's a community development block grant program that it's a formulaic allocation, which has a bunch of different factors. So the city is part, so we receive an allocation every year of both CDBG and home funds. For CDBG, the money has to benefit low and moderate income populations, prevent or eliminate slums or blight, or it has to address an urgent need. CDBG supports community development activities directed at revitalizing neighborhoods, economic development, improving facilities and services. So we're, as a CDBG grantee, we go through a five-year planning process. It's called a consolidated plan. So right now we're going over a proposed annual action plan. So if you see AAP in there, it's annual action plan. So this is part of our five-year process, but it has to do with program year 2024. The HOME program, the Home Investment Partnerships Program, this was established in 1990 and it assists low-income households. We get an annual allocation and it's based on housing supply, poverty, and other factors. There are six particular factors and it can change from year to year and they're weighted. The program funds support acquisition, rehabilitation, they can potentially support tenant-based rental assistance, and the intent of the HOME program is to increase the supply of quality affordable housing for lower-income households, expand nonprofit capacity, strengthen state and local government to provide housing, and to leverage private sector investment in housing. So in addition to funding acquisition, development, and rehab of homes and rental properties, the city has two other HOME programs. We have a Home Buyer Purchase Assistance Program. It's called BHAP sometimes, so it's the Bethlehem Home Buyer Assistance Program, and that provides down payment and closing cost assistance to first-time home buyers that are in the targeted income brackets, and we also have direct buyer purchase subsidies. So in 2024, this is program year 2024, we had 18 external CDBG applications. We funded 15 applications for a total of $1,415,213. Now, an important factor which is mentioned in the memo is we have a cap on the amount of public service CDBG we can put out, and that is it's capped at 15%. That's essentially about $212,000. So that's a significant limitation. We had over $700,000 in public service requests. So CDBG's applications are always competitive, but the public service cap is a serious limiter. So in terms of home, we take in applications throughout the year. It's rolling, and we had a request for two different activities for $199,000. Those are funded. We're recommending those are funded. So if you do not receive an allocation, what we generally do is we recommend that you apply next year, or you should also check out to see whether you're eligible for Community Recovery Fund. The CDBG can take quite a lot of, it's very staff intensive in terms of the compliance, so Community Recovery Fund is more flexible based on the funding. It's city funding, it's not federal funding. So we know that some applicants that did not receive a CDBG allocation this year, they did apply for Community Recovery Funding, so it's sort of an ongoing interplay between the two programs. So as you can see there are pie charts. I'm not going to go through every single number, but I did mention the public service cap, and that's 15%. Program administration is also capped at 20% for CDBG. For home, there's a 10% program administrative cap, and there's something called a CHODO, Community Housing Development Organization, where there's a mandatory 15% allocation on an annual basis. So our program year starts January 1st, it ends December 31st, 2024. We do not actually have our money in hand yet. We're anticipating receiving CDBG funding and home funding, I would say late summer, early fall. It's hard to exactly predict when it's going to come in. So now I'd like to just run through the list of 2024 recommended projects. So if you look at your spreadsheet, that is what we're going to be going through here. So the red reference numbers match up with the numbers I'm going to read here. So one, CDBG program admin for $283,043. That's the staff, there's consulting fees, there's basically program admin is what you need to do in terms of hiring individual staff and also hiring outside expertise. So it's pretty, that's a somewhat broad category. The second recommended activity is a community organizer and tenant advocate. We're recommending $50,000 funding. That's community Action Development Bethlehem. That is a new proposed activity. There's a tenant organizer that is going to facilitate community engagement, offer tenant advocacy, and mediate landlord-tenant disputes. This is important because this supports the city housing. There's a bunch of different city housing projects that came out of the Opening Doors Plan. But this is trying to put someone in the community to help intervene earlier in the process. Right now, there are eviction prevention programs where if you're already in a landlord-tenant dispute, you show up in court and you can get assistance from North Penn. So this is an attempt to intervene earlier in the process, prevent some landlord-tenant disputes, obviously prevent evictions, and there's a lot of good work that can be done. So this activity is very important in the context of the Opening Doors housing study and strategy. The next activity is activity number three. This is the Bethlehem Emergency Sheltering. Now, we have this in here. This is not, the proposal is not to fund this with standard CDBG. This is a community development block grant. This is CARES funding, which is basically almost out. We're putting it in here to make sure that, you know, the council sees that there's an allocation for BES. So I think everybody in the room probably knows BES provides individuals shelter through the coldest months of the year, food and shelter, and there's obviously a significant and growing need for that. Activity four, Hogarth Korea Women's Center. This is a recommendation of the $30,000, and this is for inpatient women's treatment for alcohol and drugs. It also provides different referral services, and this is the first bilingual inpatient recovery facility in the area. Activity number five, this is Share Care Volunteer Program. These are volunteers that provide free caregiving to elderly and disabled. This helps prevent homelessness. It helps keep people in their homes for longer than they would otherwise be able to be. And there's also a model where you have actually older adult volunteers helping older adults. So there are a lot of good effects to this program. The next activity, number six, Hispanic Center for the Lehigh Valley Food Pantry. This is a food insecurity program. They provide a three-day supply of food, culturally appropriate food, and they obviously target a population that has significant language barriers. So that's sort of a more unique aspect of this program. Activity seven, New Bethany Representative Payee. This is recommending funding $61,280. This is a program where it's a homelessness prevention program. Basically, if you have individuals who are unable to manage their own finances or manage their interactions with landlords, New Bethany takes fiduciary responsibility for these individuals, helps pay their bills, helps run their bank accounts, and keep people in their homes so they hopefully don't end up homeless. The next recommended activity eight, this is YWCA Tech Girls. This is a STEM education program with a $15,000 recommended allocation. This is STEM education for girls 9 through 13 in Bethlehem Area School District schools. Activity number nine, Center for Humanistic Change, Project Success Crossroads Mentoring. This is a $26,000 recommended allocation. This is, again, dealing with targeting populations in Bethlehem Area School Districts who are income qualified with various mentoring services. 10, Community Action Lehigh Valley. This is Bethlehem Homebuyer Assistance Program, as I mentioned before. So Community Action assists the city manage its BHAP program. And so they run housing counseling programs for groups. That's a component, and we're going to get to it later, but we have a recommended allocation for home funding related to the actual closing costs. But this component is related to the administration of the program and basically finding people, educating them, trying to get them in the pipeline so that they can get into homes and we can assist with using home funds. Activity 11, this is Community Action Development Bethlehem, it's Exterior Rehab and Weatherization Program. It's not just on the south side. So this is a residential facade program, including weatherization, to do for residential facades. And the intent is to coordinate with various other programs. So hopefully they can come in and they can work with the city, and there can be exterior and interior work done at the same time. It's more efficient that way, and obviously makes a huge difference in someone's life if they can get their whole house fixed up, not just the outside. Activity 12, this is City Housing Rehab Grants and Loans. recommended allocation $274,000. This is the rehabilitation and emergency repairs to owner-occupied low and moderate income residents in the city. So this is a city-managed program. Currently, we have an owner-occupied program. Health has some programs which are available to landlords. We're in the process, as part of the opening doors strategies, in developing a rental rehab program. 14, this is homeless shelter acquisition costs. The city is currently looking for sites to set up a shelter, and this CDBG aspect would fund certain transaction costs for actually acquiring and rehabilitating a property when one is identified. Activity 15, this is Friendship Park, phase 2025. This is, I'm sorry, there is an error in the summary sheet. So the allocation is $319,890. That's the recommended allocation. So I think, as everybody in the city knows, there's been a long planning and design process for rehabbing Friendship Park and really just turning it into a great space. Right now, the project is progressing. It's progressed through. Right now, it's being budgeted. It's gone on for a long period of time in terms of the design, but we are close to going into the bidding phase. So there's going to be work that's going to be happening in 2025. There's a lot of different funding, not just CDBG. There's federal funding, there's state funding. So that's sort of self-explanatory. Friendship Park improvements. The next activity is a small recommended allocation for $5,000 for tree installations with or without other improvements. This is to an attempt to put this in the action plan. There's a real demand all over the city for trees, and also for work which can hypothetically occur because of trees. So this puts money in here and allows other future allocations and funding to be grouped in. It allows for something to get moving. The next activity, 17, home program administration. This is various personnel costs for administering the home program, helping to managing all the compliance. So when we say program administration, it's not just helping organizations determine whether they're eligible to receive certain funding, whether it's CDBG or home. It's constantly working with organizations that have been allocated funding to keep them in compliance, to answer their questions, to just help them with program design. We routinely talk to organizations that have not applied to try to help them design applications which will be fundable and compliant. So there's a lot more than just reviewing applications. With any federal funding, there are a lot of strings attached to that, and there's sort of onerous compliance obligations that continue for a long time. And so that's a big part of the admin for both CDBG and home. 18, that's a recommended allocation of $58,694. Now that's the mandatory CHOTO allocation. This is, we work with community partners to actually to rehab and to develop certain housing. And so that's a HUD requirement. Again, we have this minimum CHOTO allocation. The next activity is home housing rehab for a $40,000 recommended allocation. And the next item, 20 affordable housing project requests. Since we accept home applications on a rolling basis, we need to be prepared with some funding there. They take a long lead time. There's a tremendous amount of compliance, and there's very, very heavy lift. So again, having funding which you can hypothetically allocate to something in a reasonable time frame that doesn't require months of lead time is essential. So that is that activity. And 21, this is the CALV, the BHAP down payment and closing cost assistance allocation. This is helping first-time home buyers to actually purchase single-family housing. And this is a recommended allocation of $100,000, and this was related to the CDBG allocation related to the housing counseling. So this is the home component of that program. Next steps, the administration will be submitting a resolution to council for their consideration, which would allow us to submit our annual action plan to HUD. are under strict statutory deadlines, or the city is subject to sanctions or forfeiture of funds. And basically, the Community Development Block Grant, the applications for 2025, program year 2025, are going to open in the fall. We publicize that through all sorts of different channels, social media, you know, hard copy, website, word of mouth. So we will be announcing that fanfare fall of 2025. And as we've discussed before, there's a large delay. It's inevitable based on our program year between receiving applications and actually the city receiving CDBG funds for us to distribute to the organizations. So things can change in those time periods, which sometimes, you know, budgets are changed just inevitably when you have that much time going between concept to funding. So that was my presentation for year one.
Thank you, Mr. Vidoni. I'll open it up to members of council for questions or comment. Any questions or comment as it relates to the awards from members of council? Councilwoman Cranston.
Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Vidoni. I just have a couple questions. The one is the number 14, the homeless shelter acquisition. Can you give us any idea on where we're at with that as far as do we have a designated site or, you know, are we looking at getting into contracts for that?
I'm happy to handle that question. So we are currently evaluating more than one site. We've had architectural and engineering assessments to determine if certain sites are suitable for the, you know, the work that we would, you know, hope would take place there, the number of beds that we would need, you know, what the service providers are telling us an ideal site would look like. So we are currently evaluating more than one site. Because there's real estate transactions involved, we're not in a position to publicly disclose all of them, but it is ongoing, and we're also, you know, regularly meeting with Bob Rapp from Bethlehem Emergency Shelter. We meet almost weekly at this point, and also with other service providers who may or may not be involved in actually operating a shelter in the future.
Thank you. My other question is about Friendship Park. I was wondering now, is this the last stage as far as earmarking funding for the park, or are we going to be looking at having to earmark further funding for the park for renovations?
I would defer. This is the...
Yeah. I do not anticipate we would need more city dollars. As Mr. Vidoni mentioned, we have been grateful. We received from the National Park Service a grant of about $700,000. We were earmarked from the federal government for community project funding. We also have received support from the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. So we have different funding, you know, some city dollars through CDBG, but also federal and state dollars. And you know, we did have a preliminary cost estimate based on those original designs. That was about a year and a half ago. And now we're doing the full engineering and getting the bid package ready, and the numbers are coming in right around you know, what we had originally estimated and within the contingency amount. So we do feel confident that we have the money that we need to complete the project.
Great. And also, I was just wondering, because it is, I mean, it's a great park and necessary, but do we have any data on, like, the usage of the park prior to the renovations?
That is a good question. I don't know that we have usage data. You know, the way this park was identified specifically was through the Northside 2027 planning process. So back in 2017, when that project was rolling, you know, Friendship Park was identified by the stakeholders in the neighborhood and the residents and, you know, the school district as a park that, you know, the folks in the area felt, you know, was heavily utilized and could use improvements. So that's how that really elevated to the top. It was a recommendation as part of the Northside Alive plan or Northside 2027 plan that park be renovated, which is how we ended up, you know, working so hard to get it done. We also, you may recall, did recently receive a grant to do planning citywide on parks and recreation. I mean, we have existing studies from the Department of Public Works on the condition of different parks and potential renovations, but we're also looking, you know, more broadly at need, equity, and, you know, other factors in thinking forward-looking, you know, what are the parks that we'll prioritize moving forward? And I do think it's important to consider usage, both existing and the potential usage, if you can, you know, make improvements that make it more attractive. This project in particular, Friendship Park, you know, one of the components is a, you know, water feature. That was something that we heard from nearly everyone in the neighborhood as being a critical need. There's not in that neighborhood, you know, water recreation opportunities. And so, but with a feature like that, you would actually think not only is it going to support people in the neighborhood, but it could become another sort of destination park in the city that could even draw more people than just those in the immediate neighborhood.
Thank you. That's true. And I think it's great that we're doing that. I mean, I just know I'm looking at fiscally, it's a lot of money, and I just want to be equitable that we're looking at the whole city and, you know, the usage-wise, that we're making sure that all the kids in the community have parks to go to. But I think it is great to do the water usage because there really isn't a pool. Like, some areas don't have a park, but they might have a pool. So I just want to be, you know, fair that we're looking at all those opportunities for everybody. So thank you. I think I only have two more questions. You mentioned, Mr. Fedoni, the public services part, that has to be, that's at 15%. So you said there were several applications that could be approved. Like, do you know off the top of your head, like, some what the types of applications were, just to get a feel for what kind of public services people are seeking, you know, they're seeking the money for?
So we normally don't mention the specific organizations. Some of the organizations are, I mean, there's, I would say, housing-related public services. There could be particular domestic violence-related services focused towards women.
All right, thank you. I was just curious. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
Just a quick question. Thank you for the presentation. It's a really impressive list, serving a wide range of needs. Appreciate hearing about it. Are any of the funded organizations this year new to the program? And how often does a new organization sort of come into the process?
We had some new applicants. I don't believe we have new external organizations this year.
And I do appreciate that you walk applicants through the process carefully, and, you know, if it seems that the program isn't necessarily a good fit for this funding, that you are steering them to other funding. I'm sure that's greatly appreciated. So, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I just have a couple general ones. Questions, Mr. Fedoni. So we're looking at about $1.4 million for the community development block grants, and then about $390,000 for the homes. I don't have the historic information in front of me. Can you just give me, and you don't necessarily need to quote the numbers year over year, but is that a pretty steady number? Do we see a lot of fluctuation? I mean, I know there's different variables that go into the award, but I would assume some of that also comes from a federal dedication to keeping this program going. So have we seen, at least in your time in the department or to your knowledge, a lot of fluctuation in that award year over year?
Not substantial fluctuation in CDBG. Yes, fluctuation in home. Our home allocation reduced this year. The same thing happened to Allentown. And it could be based on those factors.
And a reduction by about how much?
Our allocation went down about $68,000, approximately 15%.
And do you know if that's the trend or just for this year?
This just this year.
Understood.
I can't care. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but
you know.
But it has been at least in my time here stable.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Fedoni. And I ask because while you may have some new applicants, or definitely next year or future years new applicants, some of these programs are familiar to me from previous years and being on council, and they're definitely a service to the community. So I would hate if we're put in a position where we have to kind of look at
programs that have become, you know, dependent in part as they, as these nonprofits pursue their own different funding sources to keep some of these programs going. I had a quick question, and I know you mentioned it, but I just want to elaborate a little bit. So as it relates to the emergency shelter, number three, your reference sequence here, you noted the $70,000. Did you say that's CARES Act funding yet?
Correct. It's CDBG-CV, and that's basically our last CDBG-CV. And that was not, it was exempt from the public service cap. So that's just, it's going to be more relevant next year.
Okay. And so when you say our last, does that exhaust?
That's essentially going to exhaust it for purposes of making any allocations similar to this size.
Understood. Good to know. Thank you. Those were my only questions. Again, I'll ask any other questions from members of council before I turn it to the public. Thank you, Mr. Fedoni. Thank you, Ms. Collins. So now I'll open it up for public comment. This is, again, related to only the public hearing that Mr. Fedoni just presented. There's no one signed up, so I'll go around the room. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on the awards that were just discussed? Is there anyone in the Y Center who wanted to make comment? Yes, in the front. Mr. Fedoni will vacate the lectern in a moment.
Hiba Akbar, I don't have like a prepared public comment. I just have a question for Mr. Fedoni. It's regarding, I think it's activity five. It's about just like context, like a curious question about the inpatient treatment for women. If you had more context on like what kind of treatment is being provided. I think you mentioned it was the first bilingual facility. I don't know if we're, are we permitted to ask questions directly?
So typically this is just opportunity to comment, but I'm sure after the hearing, if you, Mr. Fedoni, do you have a brief answer related to that question? Or maybe we could follow up after the meeting. Yeah, after the meeting, if Mr. Fedoni could elaborate a little bit just with that answer. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comment as it relates to the awards that we discussed? And I'll turn to the right. Anyone to the right who wants to make comment? So that's going to conclude our first public hearing. A related proposed resolution will be placed on the agenda for Council's July 2nd, 2024 meeting. This public hearing is adjourned. And then in connection with our second public hearing, there's one communication. The clerk will read that communication, please.
June 12, 2024 memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, submitting materials for review by City Council during this evening's public hearing for the substantial amendment hearing to reallocate prior year CDBG and home funds to newly proposed CDBG and home projects.
The second public hearing is called to order. Again, I'll turn to Mr. Fedoni.
Thank you. So we are here to discuss some proposed reallocations of prior year funding to new recommended projects. So I will run through the projects, and but before I get into that, just to give you some context. So trying to plan activities from year to year and within a 5-year time frame is you are trying to predict the future, which is difficult, and you're making allocations long before the money is actually going to be spent, and so it's inevitably imperfect. There are, you know, you have to project out in time, and so certain things change. Projects, you know, some projects don't get off the ground despite everybody's best efforts. Sometimes funding sources are changed. Sometimes there's very good reasons to not use CDBG and try to swap in a more flexible funding source, which is something that I'm going to be getting into here, for something like program admin. So again, you're using salary projections and other, you know, into the future when you have staff changes, you know, sometimes that can reduce the, you know, salary outflows. There are also situations where you have other grant sources that you have to use. So for instance, in our housing rehab program, you know, it's not just CDBG, we use FAIR funding, there's RDA funding, So you're trying to balance basically spending down money by certain deadlines and spending some money down so you can show funders you're spending that money down. So again, it's not a science, and you're working with projections. So over time, it's a constant process to we're constantly trying to evaluate how best to deploy money to make sure we have flexible funding for potential future projects. And so what this is it's a series of recommended actions that would take prior year funding and fund some new projects in the context of projects which are pretty shovel ready, not subject to substantial disruptions or delays, which would allow the city to spend particularly CDBG money very quickly on some projects which are flexible in a compliance sense. So the proposed substantial amendments today, there's the addition of a new activity to our 2023 program year or other appropriate annual action plan, and this is to recommend an allocation to Holding Family Senior Living. This would fund basically HVAC units which would go into the rooms. Right now we're looking at 81 packaged units. This is a population that's recognized as low to moderate income, and this is a very good project in terms of allowing this money to be spent rather quickly, and it does not involve extreme construction complexity because it's basically equipment acquisition and installation. So this would be replacement of 81 packaged terminal air conditioner PTAC units. The project could also include ancillary work that is needed. So the proposed funding is for $250,000, and that would come from prior program admin sources. So this would not be, none of these proposed movements would take away any funding from existing allocations to other organizations, which is obviously why I'll be repeating that. That is important. It allows us to redeploy CDBG funds to comply with HUD timeliness regulations and get the money out. So that is the first proposed project. The second proposed project is ADA curb ramp installation, American Disability Act curb installation. So the city is proposing to amend an appropriate annual action plan to create a new public facilities activity for installing ADA curb ramps throughout the city. So the city would manage this new activity through the Department of Community and Economic Development, working in close coordination with Public Works, which there are a lot of benefits to working with Public Works on a construction project like this when there's time sensitivity. So this would be replacement of approximately 54 existing curb ramps with new ramps incorporating bump paths and otherwise meeting all the specs in compliance with Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. Associated work may be necessary. So I handed you a sheet of proposed locations for these. So every year Public Works, generally every year, Public Works installs ADA curb ramps. This was a very good opportunity because there are a lot of regulatory flexibilities which are beneficial for ADA projects like this. And the recommended allocation for this is $350,000 of prior CDBG, which would come from, I said prior sources, but come from an activity where it's advantageous to swap in more flexible funding. And when we get to that. So there was $350,000, which was previously allocated to Broad Street corridor improvements, but more flexible money can be swapped in. It ends up saving the city money. It ends up saving the allowing Public Works to put in more ADA ramps faster. And so, again, $350,000 is the recommended allocation. And when I give exact numbers, the numbers of ramps, the numbers of units, those things can change. Again, when you do these cost estimates, and then you go forward several months, you have to go through the bidding process. So we try to build in flexibility. Currently, the ramps that are proposed are going to be in the south side and in the north side alive area, also sometimes called the NERSA, the Neighborhood Revitalization Strategy Area, where we are required to direct resources into that area. That's also where Friendship Park is located, which was, is a key rationale, one of the many good rationales for putting money into that, that project and putting money into the NERSA, which is a HUD-designated area. So I mentioned two proposed CDBG activities. There's also the proposal to cancel an activity, which is currently funded with $350,000. This is the Broad Street Corridor project that I just mentioned. So this proposed move would not detrimentally impact that project. There's other funding that can be swapped in. So it's a win-win. There are two proposed home activities, and those are both would be for Habitat for Humanity for new construction of a single family home. Each of those homes would be located on the south side. Each one of these homes would be subject to a minimum 15-year period of affordability, and it can be longer. So it would have to be, you'd need to have low-income families in those homes, and there would be deed restrictions. It's not like you could come in and just sell these houses. I mean, this home money is very, very restrictive. So each of those proposed activities would be for $99,000. So those are the proposed substantial amendment actions.
Thank you, Mr. Vidoni. Again, I'll open it up to members of council for questions or comments related to the reallocation. Anything from council? Councilman Cranny-Smith.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you, Mr. Vidoni. I just have one question about the Habitat for Humanity homes. This is awesome. But I'm just questioning about the minimum 15-year period of affordability. Does it say, I mean, I know it has to be minimum 15 years. Is there a maximum, or like what happens after that 15 years? I guess I'm just wondering, you know, at that point, can the Habitat still owns the property? Does it not have to be affordable anymore?
So generally what's going to happen with Habitat is it's going to be affordable longer than 15 years because they have their own set of legal documents to come into the Habitat program. So even there's like multiple layers of affordability requirements which are involved here. And you can't, I mean, various things can happen. If somebody just wants to sell the house and they want to sell it into the market, they could have to pay, you know, all or substantially all the funding back in terms of the actual buyer. Now, Habitat has a very special, you know, pipeline of people putting in a lot of sweat equity, and, you know, they're selected and they're highly vetted. So that's a little less of a threat, but basically it has to stay affordable until the, you know, restriction periods end. And then it can be sold in the open market, but it's going to be, I would say, it's going to be longer than 15 years. I just put in, that is the minimum under the HUD rules.
Okay, and then the Habitat can make it longer.
They tie it to the length of their, you know, their mortgages, because they're going to be a first mortgage lender. So I would say it's much more likely it's going to be, you know, in the 20-year to 30-year time frame.
Thank you. And you know what, I forgot to say the last time, I just wanted to say thank you for the presentation and for everything with the CDBG and the home funding, because ironically, in my role as school counselor and social worker over the last 40-some years, like, I am so familiar with many of these programs, and it's really great to see these programs that I know are so successful that we're putting money where it is really going to be used efficiently. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Just a quick question.
As well.
First, how soon can you get the air conditioners to Holy Family? It's like tomorrow, is that possible?
We would hope so, but there's a lead time. I mean, yeah. They need to be constructed. There's a several month lead time, but it's terrible out.
Yeah. I appreciate your detailed explanation of how we ended up with this funding. That was sort of a question I had, and you had mentioned that you're on a 5-year cycle, and is that the spend down time period as well?
So right now HUD's proposing some new rules which would put in place basically a 6-year spend down limit. But there are various like CDBG spending rules. There's a timeliness, which is a ratio test, which every year, November 2nd, we get hit with this ratio test, and that's you have to have below a certain ratio of funding based on like the various factors. But in terms of actual spending, we don't have money in our CDBG program that is old enough to be, you know, recaptured by that proposed rule.
Thank you.
Any other feedback from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Vidoni, for both presentations. Now again, I'll open it up to public comment. This is related to the reallocations that were just discussed. And our second public comment, any comment from anyone to the left? Mr. Rodriguez? I ask you to, yes.
Eddie Rodriguez, Holy Family Apartments. I wanted to ask this gentleman about Mr. Spadoni, is that your name? But I'll address it through you. With reference to the air conditioners, which I just heard something in reference to that, I currently have an air conditioner that is going on the blinks and it hasn't been fixed by maintenance. So my question is, are they going to install new air conditioners throughout the campuses or throughout the campus where I live? That's my question, sir.
So again, Mr. Rodriguez, like I said, what we could do is right after the meeting, I could talk to you or put you in contact with Mr. Fedoni to try to elaborate on any answers
he has. I mean, he's here. Why can't he elaborate on that?
Well, I don't want to get into a long back and forth about
everybody else does.
Nah, I would say they don't. So that being said, Mr. Rodriguez, I think Mr. Fedoni will share his contact information with you to follow up with you, okay?
But why can't we ask questions? Isn't this the public?
Yeah. I mean, this is the place where you come. You spend your 5 minutes and so on and so forth, and you don't get questions answered, you know? And it only takes a second just to give me that feedback, because the other question I had was with regards to something that I'm going through at Holy Family, which is the walls. And that's why I have the construction of these walls need to be better constructed between the buildings and the floors and so on and so forth. There are cracks and this should be taken care of and they're not being taken care of. I suffer every day, every night, every minute, every hour because of this. And I've been reporting this quite some time and I'm asking if would there be money allocated for these repairs.
So
I'm asking. There are now two questions, and you're referring this to be back to this gentleman here that I can talk to him afterwards? Is that what you want?
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Rodriguez, we'll get answers to you for those questions. I'll say just really to the CDBG process in general, the organizations apply and give us what the projects are. We're not dictating what they should be doing. So in relation to other construction outside the scope of what they applied for, We're not. They give us a defined what it is. So as it relates to the air conditioners, Mr. Fedoni will be in contact with you, and I'll get you those answers. And anything else that may be an issue over at Holy Family Manor, if it's a codes issue, then that's to be addressed. But as
it's always being addressed, all right.
Understood. But as it relates to anything outside of this award, I can't speak to that.
Okay. Fine.
Was there anyone else to the left who wants to make comment on, the CDBG or home reallocation? Again, I turn to the Wide Center in the front.
Hello, I'm Harry. I just have some questions. I guess what's the website? Like, where can I access like this information? Are there paperwork out in the room or? Okay, so this is all. Okay.
Everything as it relates to the agenda tonight is posted on the website.
When I went and looked at the agenda earlier, I didn't see the public hearing parts, but that could have just been my own fault. It is what it is. I am curious about the Habitat for Humanity as well as Cramsey Smith was talking about. I guess when it comes to like the minimum 15-year affordableness, my question is, so are these homes that are going to be sold to individuals at affordable things? Are these going to be renting units? Like, I'm just, I guess I just want to understand further, because I feel like if we're going to be funding these housing units, if they're being developed or built or whatnot, that if it is renting, or if Habitat for Humanity is renting it out, it should be like for cost, and I hope that is, we're trying to get rid of the profit motive aspect out of, you know, housing, and that we make sure that, I looked at the statistics for Bethlehem residents when it comes to work, and we are a very service-heavy city. There, I think the percentage was around like 12-15% of Bethlehem City workers are in the service industry, whether it's in hotels, restaurants, whatnot. And as someone who's worked in the service industry, which is, you guys kind of need it, you know, we're kind of second-class citizens almost, where we get paid $2.50, maybe $3 an hour plus tips. And it would be nice that this is a job that society deems necessary, and that it would be appreciated if servers actually were paid a living wage, and that they could afford a housing in the city of Bethlehem. So, yeah, I just want to get more information on, is this just a part of the Opening Doors program, is this something separate?
You can address questions to council, but this is part, we do this every year.
Yeah.
The CDBG funding comes in as a federal award, and then this is part of the process, have these public hearings every year.
I do agree, though, with Mr. Rodriguez. I do think it would be appreciated from the majority of people here if we could also have a back and forth, not just those elected on council. I think that would just, it would make things a lot easier, but that's just my two cents. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the Y Center who had a comment as it relates to the reallocation? Anyone to the right who had a comment on the reallocation?
We could maybe just, we could probably take, collect all the questions and just answer them before the hearing closes.
So, Ms. Collins, I just want to, in case anyone didn't hear you, do you say take the questions, just answer them now before I adjourn the hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want.
If you're prepared, yeah. So was there any other comment from members of the public to the right? So I am going to be adjourning after, because now public comment's over.
Yeah, right.
But I will give Ms. Collins the floor to address some of the questions that came up.
So as it relates to Holy Family Manor, as President Colon said, we do respond to applications that come in. We don't affirmatively address challenges at any specific property using CDBG or home funds, but for, in this instance, we did receive an application from that entity to do the air conditioning units. So our understanding is that there's going to be a replacement of 81 units at the property. I don't know, you know, which units those are. I can't speak to whether that impacts you directly, but that was the application, so there will be a replacement of what we understand to be 81 of those units in Holy Family Senior Living. That's about as much information as I have. I can't speak to, you know, their timeline necessarily, but I do hope that it is beneficial for you. And then, again, as it relates to other potential challenges at the property, if there are issues that may be a code violation, you can certainly reach out to the Department of Community and Economic Development and the Code Enforcement or Housing Inspections offices to do inspections for those. But we did not, to my knowledge, receive an application for that type of work at the facility. And then I believe another question, the last one that came in on Habitat. Robert, actually, did you want to take that one?
The property is not going to be rented out.
Mr. Bedoni, I'm going to ask you to go to the microphone, just because so everybody can hear you. And then any kind of follow-up questions I will invite after the meeting.
So the unit is not going to be rented out. It has to. The condition of the funding is that it needs to be single-family. It needs to be a single-family home. It cannot be rented.
Okay.
And this is not.
It's been sold.
It's not. That triggers other requirements that would like require some sort of a payback unless it's sold in compliance with the grant obligations. The purpose is not to, you know, for create a market rate house to just be flipped. The purpose is to create like sustained affordable housing.
All for it. I just wanted more. I was ignorant to everything, so I appreciate.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Sorry.
It's No need to apologize. I appreciate the inquisition. Thank you.
Going back to the CDBG question, Hogar Crea is a women's treatment facility. It is, to our knowledge, the first bilingual inpatient recovery facility in the area. They provide drug and alcohol recovery services, and we don't believe there's any other local inpatient rehab that serves that population. So Hogar Crea serves to fill that gap.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. Thank you, Mr. Fedoni. So again, another resolution will be placed on the City Council agenda for July 2nd, 2024. We'll also be receiving comment, and the Council will have other opportunities to ask questions before we vote on those resolutions at our next meeting. And the second public hearing is adjourned. Moving on to the approval of minutes for June 4th, 2024 meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Seeing none, minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment, first on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have two individuals signed up. I'll start with Ms. Mary Jo McCool.
Hi, Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. Several things I want to address tonight. First, regarding the dirt bikes and illegal vehicles on city streets. If Bethlehem was part of the task force with Allentown, why is it that Allentown has confiscated numerous bikes and Bethlehem has not? At the last meeting, someone suggested we follow these riders and report to the police the garages where the bikes are parked. I am unable to do that due to my age and my aches and my pains. However, I don't want to put myself in danger trailing these people. The police need to be randomly more visible in areas where these incidents occur. Second issue tonight concerns the upcoming 4th of July holiday and the abuse of fireworks. This past Sunday night around 10:30 p.m., the neighbor was shooting them off at the intersection of Ritter Street and Grandview Boulevard, as well as Grandview Boulevard and Glendale Avenue. My neighbor and I both saw the house where they were coming from. Traffic trying to turn onto Glendale had to stop because of all the sparks. My dog went into panic mode and I did what I could to calm him down. The smoke was so bad I was almost ready to close my windows. I did call to report, but once again I am not sure if they responded. This is another situation where frequent patrols might reduce resident complaints. My third topic deals with the recent water bill. I am sure the department has already received numerous complaints regarding the late mailing of bills. My bill states that the billing cycle ended May 31st, 2024. I received my bill this past Saturday with only 5 days to make a payment. The lateness of mailing, along with mailing payments to a post office box in Philadelphia, might in fact increase the department issuing late fees on their next billing. I certainly hope this is not going to be the case. I question why payments go to Philadelphia in the first place. Come January, if the post office implements plans to have all mail transferred to a central processing site without first postmarking it, this will further increase late fee possibilities. Not everyone is able to drive to City Hall to pay their bills in person. My bill includes a customer charge for water and sewer portions of my bill. On the back of the bill, the explanation for these charges state that it includes costs for meter reading, billing, maintenance, and other expenses. To my knowledge, I do not have a meter on my sewer line, so I'm not sure how that works. But I think I did figure that part out. But I'm wondering if there has been feedback from any residents, if Mr. Buscola or somebody on council could ask him and respond, because 5 days to pay, a lot of people budget their money and they may not be able to get it in on time. And then just a final note regarding housing costs and overall economic issues plaguing much of society today. Not trying to make light of this. Homebuyers today face an incredibly difficult dilemma with interest rates at or near 7%. In 1982, when my husband and I purchased our first home, the interest rate was 16%. The construction of Interstate 78 and influx of out-of-state buyers was increasing. We set our sights on a smaller home until our finances improved. So to those that are searching, try not to be discouraged. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Our next speaker, Officer Rob Nicholson.
Robert Nicholson, the president of Bethlehem Starlight Shrine, the Fraternal Order of Police for the City of Bethlehem Police Department. It's been a while since I've been here, and tonight I just want to recap some of the recent accomplishments of our some members of our department, as well as other things the Lodge has planned. As you recently know, our award ceremony was held last week, where now recently retired Sergeant Jeffrey Ludi was honored as Supervisor of the Year by his peers, as well as Officer Benjamin Recker was awarded Officer of the Year, and Officer Richard Lascazzo was awarded the Special Unit Officer of the Year for his work as School Resource Officer. So I want to thank them for their hard work and the example they set for all members of the Bethlehem Starlight No. 20 and every officer who received their commendation that evening, which there are too many to list tonight. Also want to mention that our Lodge is trying to continue positively impact the City of Bethlehem through our Community Engagement Initiative, with programs and activities such as the Police Trading Card Contest that we are currently doing. We could not have done this without the support of over 40 local businesses who sponsored the trading cards of various officers, one of which was Callahan Driving School, who sponsored the Motor Unit Officer Andrew DeFrank. He's not here today, but I did bring a copy of his card that I wasn't going to give to him, but I'll make arrangements to give it to him later. Information on this contest can be found on our Lodge website, BethlehemFOP.org, as well as a list of the sponsors. Also, encouragement, because we are giving out prizes, one of which is a Nintendo Switch for any children that collects a certain amount of cards. We also are funding this initiative through various efforts, such as our 4th of July grill and cooler raffle. We still have tickets if anybody's interested for that. But also with the support of local businesses. We graciously Nurse Wellness and the Main Street Realty Group reached out to us and provided support for this program, and help put us in a position where we are going to be able to provide over 500 school bags filled with supplies for Bethlehem Area School District students. We intend on having this event in August with the Bethlehem Boys and Girls Club. Again, more information can be found on our website and Facebook. And finally, tonight we have two permits on the agenda for our Lodge. We are hosting the Pennsylvania Fraternal Order of Police 48th Biennial Conference. We are hosting it, and this is a conference that is going to run from July 14th through the 18th at the Wind Creek Casino. This draws usually between 400 and 500 members from across the state, and we are excited to host this conference and highlight all that Bethlehem has to offer during that week. And I did bring some cards for you guys. Put them on top, it's the best card.
Are they autographed?
Oh, no, they can be autographed.
Okay.
If you
want. Get your autograph.
Okay. There you guys go.
And we'll get it to Mr. Quarro for this.
That's what he sponsored. Thank you.
Thank you, Officer Nicholson. So that exhausts our list of who had signed up in advance to speak tonight. Again, I'll go around the room. Was there anyone to the left who wants to speak on anything that we're not anything that we're not voting on this evening? Mr. Carafola.
Yeah, Marty Carafola, 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I made a report to the police, but I didn't get any feedback from it. I was under the assumption, I guess, well, maybe it was wrong. You own your property, that nobody can actually take stuff from your property that's on your other side of your fence. However, the parking authority can do that. They get away with it. They're above the law. They actually took the branches to my mulberry tree down, and an organic mulberry tree. And the thing is, they never knocked on the door. They never called me. They never sent me a letter. They never did anything of that nature. And I was at their meeting about last month. They could have said something. You know, the branches are scratching vehicles while they're parked there. Or that the mulberries are getting too ripe that they're going to fall to the ground and stain people's cars. Whatever it is, I don't know. To this date, I don't know what it is. But the mulberries would have been an issue. Had I, you know, they waited one day, I would have took the mulberries off that were nice and ripe. And instead they cut them down and they all fell to the ground because they were ready. They were ripe enough to be falling to the ground. Very few fell to the ground as it was until they cut them down. So if they're saying that they were on the ground or something like that, but the fact remains that they should have called me. My phone number is on both sides of my van, and I never got a phone call. I never got a letter. I mean, like, that should kind of be against the law, stealing somebody's property. I mean, like, you know, just like I had porch chairs and they took them, you know, what the heck? That'd be the next thing they're going to do. They're going to probably say that the porch chairs were, growing mulberries or something. I don't know what the heck, but the thing is, you know, I just don't think that's right. But anyway, here I am, venting. And I feel like my analogy of the checkerboard game is like, we're the pawns on the checkerboard. You guys at City Hall, they're rooks. You know, you got the bishops, which is the ones that are trying to look good, like Music Fest, and the casino, when they're making all kinds of money, and they're giving the city very little in regards, but they're the bishops. And you have the police force, but the police, they can go different angles and kind of protect the pawns, you know, but the bishops could go any direct line. Then you have your king, which is your mayor. So, you know, I'm just looking at it, maybe, you know, maybe we should get a new chess game together and call it the city versus the federal government. And the federal being the black side of the chessboard, and the white being the city. But I don't know. But the thing is, the parking authority is really, I think they still overstepped their bounds on this one. Another thing, which I hope somebody can guide me in direction to, any veterans here would be totally upset if they heard what I'm about to say. And I'm a veteran, and I really got me. When I found out that Hasbro and Paramount have been capitalized off the thing of G.I. Joe, which back before, Hasbro made a doll called Private something or other, and then they called it the G.I. Joe because it had better marketing, because back in World War II, you wind up saying, hey, what's your son doing? He's a G.I. Joe. That meant he was in the Army. It's government issue. Thing is, Hasbro now has, and Paramount, they made it that if you use G.I. Joe for a play or a movie or put in a book, you got to pay residuals to them. And they never gave the United States government, us veterans, anything on that. I guess they passed that in Hollywood. They can get away with that, the Mickey Mouse courts in Hollywood. They get away with just about anything out there in Hollywood or in L.A. and pass laws and stuff of that nature. Like, what? Oh, no, no, no. I got about, so far, just in 2 days, I have about 100 veterans that are against that. Guide us in the right direction, because we're going to be pulling strings in the White House if not. That is something that's there's a lot of veterans in the city, and we lost a lot of money with Hasbro and Paramount collecting the rights for G.I. Joe. Don't step right with me. I hope you can guide me in the right direction.
Thank you, Mr. Caracol. Was there anyone else to the left? Mr. Fallweiler?
Good evening, Jim Fallweiler, 2222 Main Street. I'm sorry you're unable to attend the community meeting tonight due to a scheduling overlap. The meeting was suggested or recommended to the mayor by the group Bethlehem for Unique Neighborhoods. Probably the largest spontaneous bipartisan group created in the city of Bethlehem in my lifetime that is not already aligned with another organization, not aligned with a nonprofit, not aligned with an organization requesting funds from the city or government to do their bidding for whatever their purpose is. The First Presbyterian Church housing plans woke up a lot of people in this city, and with that area, they started looking at other things in the city, and thus the creation of the Bethlehem for Unique Neighborhoods. Started out looking at the housing proposals in the First Presbyterian Church property, but then they quickly realized there are many programs and proposals by the mayor and the administration through the opening doors, the alley home projects, and zoning changes to increase density that it appears a lot of people, when they finally open their eyes and are awakened and pay attention, don't like changes that are going to be command directed into their neighborhoods. It's all right to look at zoning. Zoning policies do need to be amended and updated every now and then, but to lead with the idea we're going to change residential neighborhood zoning strictly to increase density, targeting the west side and the north side, because that's where the lesser density naturally already is in the city, that just makes no sense, and that will destroy the uniqueness of the neighborhoods. Looking at the scheduling tonight, I decided to do a little research on like why will potentially the biggest community event asking questions and getting a briefing by the mayor on his potentially keystone plan be scheduled during a city council meeting. We had one member, evidently he's probably at that meeting tonight. The organizer suggested this meeting to the mayor quite a while ago. And talking to the requester, it was the mayor's office who coordinated and set up the location and date. There was questions on the Wesleyan Church availability, and that certainly helped set a date. But why would you pick such an important community meeting at the same time of a city council meeting? The requester told me when I was asking questions that it was the mayor's administrative office that coordinated and set up the location and date. A member of the Mountain Area Neighborhood Association told me she was told by a member of the administration that the meeting was set by the church and the neighbors and not by the city. So just like the Alley House program, where we're told, don't worry, this isn't going to set a precedence. Of course it is. You're going to turn around, just like the parking garage and other things, after the fact and say, well, we approved it then, but back then you told us something different. We just ask for some honest answers and explanations. If it's what you want to do, just tell us publicly and own it. It appears somebody purposely didn't want council to attend that meeting, and or I'm speculating, maybe just didn't want to attend another, schedule another meeting to take time out of his evenings. I'll leave that part for speculation. Well, we get mixed answers from the requester and otherwise. But I stand here against the zoning changes that increase the density in the city. It'll affect the charm, character, and nature of each unique charm neighborhood in Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Falwell. Was anyone else that left who wants to make comment? I didn't have a chance to yet.
I'll
was out in the hallway regarding what?
We're just in our public comment period, Mr. Rodriguez. I turn to the White Center. Is there anyone in the center who wants to make comment on anything we're not voting on this evening?
I'm not voting.
Mr. Antalis?
Steve Antalis, 77 Ridge. It has been brought to my attention by a goodly number of concerned citizens that the administration is resorting to an excessive number of consultants to conduct the city's business. This procedure can be very costly and possibly will not provide the best solution because of lack of intimate knowledge of the city. It also raises a more serious question as to whether those in charge of the city's business are qualified to have that knowledge to achieve this goal. A classical example of the failure of consultants is the 5 points. In the 50s, the plan was to divert 5 points traffic to a bypass on the old Reading Railroad right of way. It failed. It was resurrected in the 70s by the Grumman consultants, and that also failed. In the year 2000, rather than resurrecting the 5 points bypass plan, Sasaki recommended converting the right-of-way into a greenway. After that, further consultants on the 5 points recommended possible one-way systems, and that failed. So how much money was spent to solve the 5 point problem and never happened? But this is a classic example of excessive use of consultants to no advantage to the city. The real irony is that the history of the South Side was violated when the South Side Historic District of Wyandotte Street was placed in the middle of the street. Unlike our district, which includes both sides of the street, this middle of the street boundary allowed McDonald's to build their 5 points neon monstrosity at the beginning of the South Side Historic District. That in itself clearly indicates that development takes priority over South Side Historic Preservation. And City Council has played into that by its ignoring historic district recommendations and allowing further destruction of the historic district. And since I've 1.5 minutes left, I've been to quite a few city council meetings. And I recall way back historically, they were city events where council, the public servants, listened to people behind me, to their complaints, and engaged in dialogue. To solve these problems. But to me, I have a feeling that the public has become an adversary to council. in a manner the way council treats them and brushed aside and say, well, we won't hear your problem, go talk to somebody later, which is a function of a city council meeting. So, I suggest city councils seriously reflect on their behavior, because it is not in the best interest of the city's residents.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Is there anyone else? I'll go back around then, Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make a comment? I've not had a chance yet. Yes.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch on what you just said. I do agree. I'll be the first person to admit, okay, I think I'm smarter than average, and that kind of makes me smarter than, what, like 4 billion people, 3 billion people? If you're smarter than average, my brother told me that. But I'll be the first person to admit, I don't think I'm the smartest person in the room, and there's a lot I don't know. The more you read, the more you learn, the more you realize how little you actually know about everything. But what I do think is true, and what I believe, is that despite me not having all the answers, or you guys not having all the answers, I think if we come together and through cooperation, we can achieve all the answers. And I do believe that we need more of a dialogue, not just I speak at you and then occasionally you'll tell me what I want to hear or something, or push me along. And I kind of gotten the feeling that it is often the Commonwealth versus council. It is adversarial. And I don't think it always gives off that feeling, and it nor should it, but on occasion it does feel like that. I mean, I've been coming here since February 20th, and for the hopes that we could take a stand against what's going on in Palestine, the genocide, and it's still always, you know, I gotta give you credit where credit is due. You're not arresting us. You didn't arrest us on March 5th, you know, which I'm sure a city like Allentown, which is much more heavily policed, would have. I don't think you guys are enemies of the people, you know. I really don't. I see the nuance in most of you. Some of you, I don't know. I'm still struggling to see the nuance, but I want to come together more. You know, that's how during the Cold War we got to space, right? We brought together and funded all the smartest people we knew, brought them into NASA, and guess what? We got to space. You know what I'm saying? It's not through one individual or one person are we going to come to a solution to all these problems. But through collective action and enabling that through, let's say, I don't know, what if we had bigger meetings in which we could all take a day off or something, and we could provide food so that we could all have a bigger discussion. Those who want to be involved in local democracy have a better ability. I mean, realistically, like, the opportunity cost everybody has to take to come here is pretty great, especially when considering if you want to read the agenda and understand what's going on beforehand. That takes hours out of your day beforehand, plus the hours spent being here, commuting here. That's an opportunity cost that somebody who works two jobs, I will admit, I can no longer say that anymore. I resigned from my one job. I am a single jobber. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still exhausted all the time. I want to live, you know, and I think most of us want to live. And I respect the elderly. Generally, but this is our future. You know, I'm 24. It's the youth's future, right? At some point, you gotta say, "Hey, old people, you lived, you know, and you got us to where we are." But it's time that we allow the younger generation to have a little bit more control, a little more say. Not just those who own the means of production, who own the most capital, who have the most money in their pocket. When you look at, like, wealth and capital, I'm reading Capital in the 21st Century right now by Thomas Piketty. It's been really fascinating. I'm not super far, only 140, it's a big book. I'm only on chapter 5. But the first thing you really realize is that those who own capital accumulate wealth at a rate incredibly higher than those who have no capital to begin with. You know, and let's say you own some property, you own the means of production, whether it's land, resources, factories, you have now the ability to appropriate the fruits of labor of the workers, profit, and now you have luxury of free time. Time is our biggest asset, our most, like, valuable resource. When you spend time, you don't get it back. And I'm tired of being a wage slave. I want to live. I want to experience life. I don't want to see the world around me be destroyed, and I don't have all the answers, but I know if we come together, we can strategize and come together to find better solutions on how we can take better care of our community, our environment, our ecosystem, how we can combat the corrupt, authoritative, fascist federal government we have that are spending all billions of dollars of our tax dollars to blow up brown people overseas instead of investing in infrastructure and innovation and education and healthcare. There's so many problems. I don't have all the answers, but I know we all do. And I wish we could come together and figure out a more direct democratic solution opposed to just, I talk at you and I hope you guys reply or say something, you know? But that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make? Was there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment? If there's any chance to yes. Yes, in the back.
My name is Jordan Bull. I'm from 827 West Broad Street. I'm just going to piggyback on what they were saying. I mean, this is my first meeting. I think it's pretty disheartening that the public can't engage in actual conversation with the people that are supposed to be making the decisions for us. You even know what the public wants. Like, you guys can't even answer the questions. They wouldn't even answer the questions. We had to make them answer the questions or else they look bad. Why is that? We don't even have the same views on anything, but I agree with him more on this than I would agree with any of you on anything. But I thank you for having me here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'll be here later. I think people agree.
Is there anyone else in the center who hasn't had a chance to comment and wanted to? Anyone to the right? I'll swing back around to Ms. Rodriguez.
Eddie Rodriguez, Holy Family Matters. You know, I don't want to go against anyone with reference to how they come up and how they speak, or how loud they can get, or how disrespectful they can get. But enough is enough. You know, if you want to come up, be respectful, like I said the last two or three meetings, and not be a loudmouth. You know, this is disrespecting our council and the people that come to listen. And the noise in the background should be also held to a point. Everybody has an opinion and an idea, but be respectful. People come up and make their comments, it's none of your concern.
Sir, I ask you to someone speak.
Sorry.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And nothing to go against you, young man.
That's okay.
Okay? No disrespect or to you, sir. All right? But when you come up, be respectful. That's all I'm asking. Okay? Enjoy what you say and get it over and done with. But I came up here, I was going to talk about the last meeting that I was here about third place. I'm asking Chief Cott for further an investigation done on what's going on in Stefco Boulevard and also Linden Street, because this is a concern problem not only for myself but residents. It's gotten to a point of it being a dangerous situation, and they're not respecting the lights, nor are they respecting the vehicles. They're at a stop at a red light and they're rushing right through to get to the other side. And sometimes you get multiple individuals doing this. They're loud, they're noisy, and they don't belong on city streets. I don't believe that also the mural in Yasko Park should continue to exist. One of the persons has a criminal background that made that mural, whether it be one or the other. I'll leave it at that. I personally know this. I'm asking that to go back to the way that the city had the complaints being taken in from city residents. Angela, what was her name? Angela, the one that was complaining about the garbage on Cherokee Street, she was right. I went back there and I saw what she was talking about. She sent me pictures. I gave her, we're connecting. And she's right. There is garbage. There's currently a mattress at 422 outside hanging on the wall. That's ridiculous. These things should be happening. What has been done regarding the water fountain issue in the city, especially with the heat wave that's going on? Now I'm talking about city council members and the mayor, even though the mayor's not here, and possibly the one that I'm talking about is Mr. Callahan. But I'll be respectful. When speaking at times with each other, you got to remember that we need to hear also what you're talking about and not being repetitious with each other. This is monotonous. It's disrespectful towards the people that are coming here. And it's continuous. It's been happening a couple times already. And I'm asking, which I already asked the young lady from the city, when someone is speaking on a podium, either fix that mic over there because it's too low and have something installed better than like these, that we can hear, the public can hear. What in the world are you talking to? You, I mean, you got somebody that's talking at the podium on that side, talking directly to city council, but the general public is not hearing what you are discussing. I didn't come here for this. I came here to speak and be heard, and I want to hear everything that's spoken.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'll give you 10 seconds to wrap it up.
And regarding North Penn, I was assisted by North Penn legal office, and let me tell you, they rejected my intake. So you're referring, you keep on constantly saying North Penn this and North Penn that. That doesn't work for anyone.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Was there anyone else before I conclude public comment who hadn't had a chance to speak, who wanted to about anything not being voted on this evening?
Is there a second?
Not tonight, Mr. Rodriguez. Well, thank you. We're going to move on to second public comment. This is for any ordinance or resolution that's being voted on tonight on the agenda. No one had signed up in advance. So again, I'll go around the room. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on this evening? I turn to the wide center. Anyone want to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? Turn to the right. Seeing none, that concludes public comment. Any old business from members of council? Any new business from members of council? I'll start with Ms. Wojtek.
Thank you. I did want to bring up a couple of questions that folks had asked and hope that members of the administration could address them. Mr. Buscola, the comment about the water and sewer bills, has there been a delay in the delivery of the most recent water and sewer bills? I don't think we've gotten ours.
I'm not aware of any, but I can certainly find out.
Okay.
But the next one would be... The last cycle.
Right, it's by the quarter, so it would be the end of March and then the end of...
We send 3,000 bills out every week, so...
Okay. So they actually are on a rolling?
Yes,
so
not everybody's on a rolling quarter.
Okay.
Well, 3,000, every 3,000 is every... So that everybody gets a bill every quarter, but it's all rolling weeks, rolling quarters.
Okay.
But I'll find out if something... Sometimes, you know, because we have third-party print the bills, there could be a delay there. There could be a bit of delay with the Postal Service sometimes. I know it happened back during COVID. But I'll find out if there was an issue lately with the last couple cycles.
And with regard to using a third party, I mean, that's just more economical, more efficient?
We've been doing it for more than 10 years, since before I started, and it's one of those services that we've contracted out. That we do the same with taxes,
right.
All the billing, and then all of the the payment of the processing of the checks then goes to third party as well. So
And it's cost effective. It's more, yes. more economical than yep. having city staff, for instance.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yep. And then Chief Cott, we did start to talk about dirt bikes when you weren't here at our last meeting, and I think that if I recall correctly, the mayor suggested that we chat more about it when you were able to be here. So if you could just give us an update on, you know, maybe what the city's doing or to this, I mean, this clearly is, especially in the summer, it really does become kind of a nuisance situation.
Absolutely. So it's something that we're actively working on with not only the Northampton County District Attorney's Office, but also our city solicitor's office. And I'm going to be reaching out to Councilwoman Leon to have a public safety meeting set up to discuss it and a new ordinance that I'm currently drafting to help us address this pervasive issue.
And I think probably the next question that people would ask about an ordinance would be enforcement, because you don't think we have the legal standing that we need in order to stop it without a new ordinance?
So there was a new, and forgive me, it escapes me right now, but there was a new law passed in the state of Pennsylvania in regard to dirt bikes and our ability to seize them. A local ordinance would make it easier for us to seize the dirt bikes after they're taken into police, you know, the individuals taken into police custody. But also there are some nuances that some other municipalities are using in regard to gas stations and where these individuals are fueling up at, that would enable us to help cut back on the amount of illegal dirt bikes that are in the city. So that there's some interesting things that we're going to be putting into the ordinance that I'm very anxious to let everyone know about it. I feel that it could make somewhat of an impact on the problem that we're facing.
Right, and I mean, I don't, you know, want to stop anyone from being able to get to work or anything like that, right? So if you're, you know, you're using an e-bike or you're using a moped or something like that, this is the situation with this has become a real hazard for pedestrians, for cyclists, for children, you know, in neighborhoods and things like that, where it's just the excessive speed. Obviously, the noise is very unpleasant also, obviously. But so I'm more looking at it from that kind of safety perspective. And so, yeah, I appreciate that. Well, we'll look forward to learning more about the ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then I just had a few thoughts connecting some of the things that folks have said tonight. You know, I think we are up here trying to do our best to solve the problems of people in the city, to make the city a better place to live. I think that the fact that we do have a housing crunch does show that people do want to live here. I think we're experiencing at this time a shift where this smaller cities like Bethlehem, not just Bethlehem, but smaller cities like Bethlehem that used to have a lot of naturally affordable housing, that has shrunk, and so now we don't have that leg up that folks would come to a small city like ours to experience. I do want to say that, yes, there is a community meeting tonight. There have been numerous community meetings on housing affordability. The city has had, the administration has held numerous meetings, community meetings, where everybody's been invited and there has been food. I've attended quite a few of them. I've spoken to many people who live in this city at those meetings. I think that sometimes folks don't attend meetings when they think something isn't going to impact them, instead of being kind of open to the subject in general and wanting to learn more. But there has been a lot of outreach. I also attended the MANA meeting. Gosh, it's probably, how long ago was that? It was in May. Yeah, so early May. So it did felt like almost 2 months ago. Certainly heard people's concerns there. Tried to speak with folks about what's actually in the Opening Doors report. The voluminous data, which, yes, was obtained through a consultant, because that's kind of how you have to do things. And the results of that report are already yielding benefits in terms of programming, grants and things like that, the Gateway Project at East 4th Street. So I want to say that I'm out there, I'm listening. I have been listening, and I read everybody's emails, so I'm well aware of how people feel. Something that Mr. Faber said that connected to something another person said was, you know, you were talking about wanting to address the issues in the city and make things better. We also obviously have people in this city who have a very different opinion of what making things better might be. So sometimes it's hard because not everybody agrees with what you might think is making things better. So I'm still going to be fighting the good fight for affordable housing, for welcoming people, believing that housing is a human right and that people should be able to afford to live in a place like Bethlehem, whether they are a server or a doctor. That's just going to continue to be part of the work that I do here for as long as the people of Bethlehem will have me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business from members of council? Councilwoman Cramsey.
Thank you. Thank you. Chief Cotton, I don't want you to get up again, but thank you, and I'm very convinced that you're doing everything you can about the bikes, but I was just wondering, I saw like Allentown's using Pennsylvania State Police Aviation Unit assisted them. I mean, is that a possibility, or do you think that's not a good route to go?
Looking at the volume of the problem, I think it's more prevalent in Allentown. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we don't have the illegal dirt bikes here, but it's nowhere near the volume that Allentown's experiencing. So that is a big ask from the Pennsylvania State Police, is to have their aviation unit assist. And I'm very happy for Chief Rocha that partnership is occurring and that they were able to seize the number of dirt bikes that they did this past week and a half. But it's something that I don't want to say that we wouldn't explore in the future if the problem persists and gets to be more of an issue. But at this time, I don't think that it's something that would be as successful here in our city.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Thanks.
The only other thing I wanted to say was regarding the community meeting tonight, which is being held regarding the housing, First Presbyterian and our Opening Doors consultant. I didn't vote for the consultant because I do feel that we do use consultants too frequently in the city. Even when I was working for county government in human services, I always felt like the money from the government should go more toward direct services for people versus consultants. I love the way Mayor Panto had the groups of people who were in the field of housing in Easton get together, and they had a task force, and they basically told him what to do with the rescue fund money, and I think that that's what we could have done in Bethlehem. I also knew of some other consultants that I think would have done more as far as getting us funding than the one that was selected, which I didn't vote for. And while I agree there's been numerous meetings about housing, there's never been a meeting, to my knowledge, the same time as a council meeting. And I was really torn tonight as to what meeting to attend, because I've had a lot of people reach out to me. I live in the community fairly close to where all the people are upset, and I really wanted to attend that meeting tonight, but I felt that I had a duty to attend council, especially since we wouldn't have a forum if I did not attend it. And I wanted on the record that in the future, I propose that if there is a meeting with the community in the city, such as is happening tonight, that it not be scheduled the same night as a council meeting. I quite frankly, I'm not convinced that it wasn't deliberate that it was scheduled the same time as a council meeting, because it's the only one that has been. And I feel strongly that my role as a council member is to represent all the people in the community. And if I can't be at that meeting tonight, it's more difficult for me to represent them. Thank God they are reaching out to me and I'm reaching back. And, you know, my door's always open and my phone's always on to speak to people. But I really had a real problem, and I asked repeatedly at the last meeting to reschedule a meeting and was told that it couldn't be. But I want it on the record that in the future, I really think it's a disservice to have meetings such as this the same night as a council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other new business from our council? Mr. Ruskell, I have one quick question, if you don't mind coming back to the lectern, just as it relates to the building. I appreciate some of that insight. I didn't know that bills are, I mean, it makes sense given the volume of bills that are sent out, but given that some of the operation, because it's essentially outsourced and third party, can you speak to, is there, in the event that there would be, let's say, a delay in getting bills out, or someone is getting, you know, a bill right before a due date or anything like that, what kind of grace period is there as it relates to paying bills?
Every bill carries a penalty if you miss the deadline. But if people do not receive the bill by, like, the, you know, within a certain time frame from of the deadline, then we'll use our discretion in waiving those fees. I think it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. Like I said, I have to take a look and see exactly what if any problem occurred in the past couple of billing cycles, if they did go out late. But we would usually try to accommodate customers if they did get the bill late and then they have to turn around and mail it right away and it gets to the processing center late, so, and then they get charged a penalty, you know. So we'll take a look at that and see if there's something that we would need to adjust.
And that's fair.
We're not in the business of, like, penalizing people if they get the mail late and then a penalty gets automatically assessed.
Thank you, Mr. Brother. I just think it's relevant to note that you do have the ability to waive any late fees.
Yes. If something like that happened where they got the bill late, yes, we would take care of that.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Russell. Sure. Any other new business before we move on? Communications, Mr. Miller, Communications 6A.
June 5th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Police Chief Michelle Koch regarding special event parking during Music Fest 2024. My period will be from 12 p.m. on Friday, August 2nd, through 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 11th. North side and south side provisions are proposed and are detailed on a map that is attached as exhibit.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
June 11th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Bastola recommends a contract to J.O. and Bradley Construction Company, Incorporated of Bethlehem, to provide labor and materials to replace city-owned 100-year-old 8-inch water main on Main Street in Fremansburg. The cost is $846,790, and the work is to be completed within 60 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals. The contractor's bid was the lowest responsible among the four bids received.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
June 11th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Lehigh Valley Grace Brethren Church, and the event is Bible Reading Marathon. Event times are noon to 9 p.m. August 2nd through 11th. The duration is noon until 11 a.m. It's 11 a.m. until 9:15 p.m. August 2nd through August 11th. Specified premises is a portion of Johnson Park along Old York Road immediately prior to the footbridge, as shown on an attached exhibit.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
June 11th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Non-Knights Motorcycle Club, and the sub-permittee is ArtsQuest. The event is the 2024 VetFest. Event times are 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. on both July 13th and 14th. The duration is 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. on both July 13th and 14th. The specified premises is First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
The June 11th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Christmas City Spirits, LLC, and the sub-permittee is the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem. The event is the Blueberry Bounce Launch Party. The event time is 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on July 20th. The duration of the permit is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on July 20th. The specified premises or locations and adjacent to the Sunny Courtyard is specified in an attached exhibit.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
June 12, 24 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. and attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permit E is the Bethlehem Star Lodge number 20, and sub-permit E is being Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem and Christmas City Spirits LLC. The event is the 48th biennial FOP conference entertainment event at the Sun Inn Courtyard. Event times are 5 to 9 p.m. on July 15th. The duration will be 4 to 10 p.m. on July 15th. Specified premises or locations in and around adjacent, in and adjacent to the Sun Inn Courtyard is specified in the attached exhibit.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. 6G.
June 12, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Bethlehem Star Lodge number 20 and the sub-permittee is Steel Pub LLC. Event times are 5 to 9 p.m. on July 16th. The duration is 3 to 11 p.m. on July 16th. The specified premises is First Street from Polk Street to immediately before the entrance to the Steel Ice parking lot.
And 10G is on the agenda. Lastly, communication 6H.
The June 12, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the Bethlehem Area School District and the City of Bethlehem Police Department. The agreement authorizes city police to enforce violations captured by bus patrol cameras, motorists passing stop Bethlehem Area School District buses.
And Resolution 10H is on the agenda tonight. Reports. I have one appointment this evening. Mr. Miller.
Council may make appointment Nicole Giancarelli, Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
So before I move up to discussion, I'll just say I brought forward Ms. Giancarelli's name. She had reached out. There was, I appreciated there was a few people who kind of at least inquired about serving on the library board, and Ms. Giancarelli showed interest and has been someone who not only utilizes the library, is someone who Executive Director Burke over at the library is familiar with, and he and I briefly had a conversation about the appointment, and he also feels that someone would be very agrees with the mission of the library in terms of supporting library operations, and someone who would be involved as a board member, the kind of person we look for to volunteer on these boards. So that is why I brought her name forward this evening. Any other discussion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colombi?
Aye. It passes 4-0. With nothing else to report tonight, Mr. Evans?
Too quick for the reports from the mayor. Last Thursday, he had the opportunity to attend a ceremony at Northeast that recognized achievements of members of our police department. He reported that it was a wonderful night. He wanted to thank all of the police and their families for coming out. In regards to our police and fire, we have new graduates. Fire Academy last week graduated seven out of the Allentown Fire Academy, and they entered the force immediately. And we just had four candidates or recruits graduate from the police academy, so they will also be joining our ranks as well. The recruiting efforts in both divisions will continue with an attempt and the goal to, you know, go up to full force as quick as possible.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Evans. Moving on to our ordinances for final passage. Mr. Miller, Bill 17-2024.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 347 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled Municipal Claims for Delinquent Accounts, Schedule of Attorney Fees to be added. Bill number 17-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion on the ordinance? We'll call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Bill 18-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 18-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Swiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. There are no new ordinances this evening. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
It was resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that during the period 12 noon Friday, August 2nd, 2024, through 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 11, 2024, and in connection with the 2024 Music Fest Festival, all violations of the provisions of Article 531, parking generally, and the subsection specified in the resolution shall carry the modified fines as specified in the resolution. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company Incorporated to install a water main in Freemansburg. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. We'll call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement to Lehigh Valley Grace Brethren Church for a Bible reading marathon. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. Call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the NOM Knights for the 2024 Vet Fest. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. We'll call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits LLC for the Blueberry Bounce Launch Party. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Wojtek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Bethlehem Star Lodge number 20 for the 48th biennial FOP conference entertainment event at Sun Inn Courtyard. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. We'll call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. And Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Bethlehem Star Lodge number 20 for the 48th biennial FOP conference entertainment event at Steel Pub. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? I'll just say before we call the roll on the group of use permit agreements tonight, I know I made a lighthearted comment at one of our previous meetings. I don't remember, I could just be wrong, I'm going by my recollection, where we've had this many use permit agreements, agenda after agenda, and it's just really encouraging to see. I know some of them are newer programs, like how we use the Greenway and how we use the Rose Garden. Some of these, as we heard, are statewide events that are being held in Bethlehem this year, which is always great when people come from around the Commonwealth to the city, and even just other new community events. So I appreciate, well, one under the Law Bureau is busier when all this is going on, but also just seeing the different, that there's a lot of variation in some of these events. And so it's nice to see new things going on and hope we just continue to keep growing the way we showcase our city and our public spaces for these community events. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Graham C. Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. And lastly, Resolution 10E.
Resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, hereby authorized to execute an intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the Bethlehem Area School District and the City of Bethlehem Police Department to provide school bus safety law enforcement. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Chief Cott, is this for you? This is, I'm guessing, maybe a question for you. So this is an this is an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Bethlehem, our police department, and the Bethlehem Area School District. And so from what I understand from reading this is that the school district is using a technology, a company called Bus Patrol, that is intended to capture when people violate the stop arm, right? They go around the stop arm, obviously extremely dangerous behavior that we all condemn. So this is just, if I'm understanding it correctly, to have the agreement that our police department gets the film or the data or whatever, and then pursues a civil ticket or something like that, or?
Correct, after a review process. So unfortunately, there are times where there are malfunctions or where an individual didn't exactly break the law, so we have our officers review that footage. If there is a violation, they will cite. If there isn't, they'll let it go.
And so they're just beginning to implement this on the buses?
So we have been doing this. This, and council did approve a intergovernmental agreement prior. This came about from new legislation in Harrisburg that updated the law.
Okay.
So that's why you have this updated document in front of you.
Okay, thank you.
Chief, can you just speak to how it's updated?
So basically before, the law was very vague and gray, believe it or not, on how an individual can contest and plead not guilty for the citation. Now it covers it, and it's much more written out and easy for an individual to do.
So does that help with enforcement or make it more difficult to enforce?
It helps with enforcement, and it helps individuals that feel like they're unjustly being cited. It gives them a course of action to contest it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I asked this question when we voted on this last year. The citation goes to the registered owner of the vehicle. So if my brother is driving my car and there's a violation, I get cited.
Correct.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions from members of council? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Ms. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kuliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-0. That concludes our agenda. Get home safe, everybody.
Is there a second?